AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, later this hour, Bill Plaschke will be along. Now, do you have some words for him?
Other than he's wrong?
Yeah. Other I want to see how he is going to explain.
I want to hear him spin it. I want to hear his explanation. And we saw the article. I know the article, and he wrote it the other day. But I want to hear it come out of his mouth, Fred. I want to hear him convince me why Wolford should be the starter.
Yeah, well, I want to hear him convince a guy that played quarterback in the NFL that would absolutely know who should start why Wolford should start.
Are you getting your popcorn ready right now? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. I'm going to sit back and enjoy every second of that. Because Bill will have his reasons, and then we'll hear what he has to say when you let him know what you think.
Okay.
But now.
Oh, yeah.
Got to come together, Rodney.
Oh, please. We need it after yesterday. Come on.
We got to do it. And to provide us some unity and
yes.
some spirituality.
Yes.
We got to bring on our man.
Come on.
Vic the Brick with a daily haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred.
Way to go, Fred.
I just
let
closed
that
my,
marinate.
I just closed my eyes today.
Good,
sat back.
Good.
Good afternoon, Rodney.
Yes, Vic. Yes, yes.
Good afternoon, K-Fick.
Good afternoon, Vic.
And the ones and the twos. Adam Osland?
Yeah!
The salty dog, y'all. Well, you know me, I grew up in Queens.
Yes.
Queens, New York.
Yes.
And when the New York Mets pulled the trigger today on their Francisco Lindor trade, and don't forget Carlos Carrasco as well. You know, I was forgetting Carlos Carrasco. He'll be the number two starter.
Don't forget
after
Carrasco.
After DeGrom. Joe King, you know, King Carrasco, man, he can still yeah. pitch. It's 34, but this is one of the superstars of the league, man.
You can still
this has shifted the power in the National League from Atlanta to the Mets in terms of NLCS meeting the Dodgers down the line.
All right,
this is direct impact on the Dodgers, who they're going to face.
Also, Vic, don't forget, they do have Marcus Stroman coming back healthy. They signed James McCann, an all-star from the White Sox. Everybody's talking about the Padres winning the offseason. With the move today, the Mets may have won the offseason, Vic.
Great point. Salient point, K-Fig.
Don't get ahead of yourself, Vic. I mean, they made a couple of moves. Let's not put them in the NLCS.
They got two all-stars. What do you mean a couple of moves, Fred?
They made a couple of moves.
Why are you poo-pooing, as Rob Parker would say?
Lindor is a spectacular player.
Right.
Four-time all-star.
Yeah.
Incredible flamboyancy. The Mets have suddenly taken over New York from the Yankees in one shift.
Whoa.
Run.
Whoa.
Yes. Steve Cohen, the bullet billionaire, he's got money, man.
No, they haven't taken over New York.
Vic. I wouldn't go that far.
No, Vic.
I was with you for a second, Vic. I'm not going to go that far.
Best player in New York is suddenly Francisco Lindor.
Maybe.
Who's better? Aaron Judge?
Is he's not good, Vic?
Aaron Judge is fabulous. Francisco Lindor is special.
And the thing Ooh. About Lindor, and the thing about him, he's very charismatic.
Yes.
I mean, he really is. People just like him to like him. It was a very good acquisition by the Mets. And now, because Steve Cohen bought the team and he's trying to bring some respectability to it, they will well overpay him to keep him. That's their guy.
This is the most humongous move by the Mets in a trade since Mike Piazza. from the Marlins when Piazza was on Florida in that ridiculous move when the Dodgers let him go, which was insane. But the Mets picked up Piazza, and he changed the franchise, as Lindor will change the franchise in Queens. You heard it here first. I'm going on record. I'm going on video disc. I'm going digital.
Even on video disc.
The Mets are the best team in New York. And it's going to be Mets, Dodgers, NLCS this year. And the Mets aren't finished. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Liam Hendricks doesn't go there.
There's word that they're looking at George Springer.
Oh, yeah.
Dodger fans know him well.
Very, very much in the mix with Springer.
Now, if they get George Springer, too.
Baseball world knows him well.
They've had an offseason.
Springer.
Springer.
Talk about a lightning rod to get you going.
This is the most flamboyant, strongest, most popular Mets team since Piazza. And Piazza. I'm very happy. I'm very happy for the Mets. And the Yankees are slow in the draw. I mean, they should have signed up, DJ LeMahieu a long time ago, letting him hang out there. Who knows where LeMahieu's going to go? Anyway, don't get me started, but the Mets have taken over New York.
No, they haven't.
They haven't played a game yet, Vic.
They haven't, Vic.
Francisco Lindor is so, so especial.
He is charismatic, Fred, you know.
Why is that?
Something to sell. I mean, that's big. You talk about
magical Puerto Rican. He's a magical Puerto Rican. The whole Puerto Rican population is going to go nuts in New York.
You talk about having to have flair, and how you win is important in big markets LA and New York. That's
when
important.
We talked about him when the Dodgers were, you know, people were saying, got to go get him with the Dodgers.
This is a la Mookie for the Mets. That's a great analogy. This is a la Mookie for the Mets.
Exactly.
But they still have to win, Vic.
Of course.
They'll have Pete Alonso.
What are you doing, Captain Obvious? Of course they got to win.
Well, he's already anointed them the National League champs.
They got to win, Vic.
They've taken over New York. They'll be in the NLCS. I mean, one step at a time, Vic. One step at a time.
And they're not finished, Fred. You know, they get Springer and Hendricks.
Then we can have a conversation.
No one's spending money. Remember this. It's a new economy in 2021.
They got a staff, Fred. They got a pitching staff.
You know, DeGrom, Carrasco, Syndergaard, when he comes back from Tommy John, he'll be pitching second half of the year. This is a very, very strong-looking squad now. And everyone's going crazy in New York for this trade, I'm telling you. So congratulations to the Mets for making a Piazza-like move. Talking about heavyweights, I'm throwing down some Basho for everyone today.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This haiku for you on this Thursday, January the 7th. Violets, as I walk this mountain road, draw me to them somehow.
I'm feeling you.
Basho.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that one today.
Yeah.
Get it?
Walking down the road, Basho sees violets.
Yes.
And he says, you know what? Those violets are calling my name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're beckoning me to come over and enjoy them.
There you go, Fred.
And appreciate the nature. Did I get today's?
Vic.
Perfect. Fred, you went right to the essence.
Our boy becomes a man, Vic. Our boy becomes a man today.
This was a crossroads for Fred Rogan. It's a crossroads day for Fred.
Yes.
Well, yesterday, of course, you went
on his way to enlightenment.
Well, absolutely, on the road.
I got that one. Not like the mold day with the green stuff on the floor. I don't think we need to relive that, where people thought it was mold or mildew and the green slats. That was confusing. But today was spot on. And it follows yesterday's, where you did deliver the number one haiku of all time, which included the words plop, plop. So this has been a very big 2 days, Vic.
Well, thank you, Fred. You know, you got to pivot. It's very important to pivot.
Yeah.
And that's what we all do, you know, in these tumultuous times.
You just pivot.
You pivot. You know, like you get the ball in the post.
Yeah.
You know, like AD.
Yeah.
you fall away, Jay, or you make a, you know, Euro step to the hoop and you're in. Boom, 2 points, 3 points, whatever. You pivot.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
What, Rodney?
What?
What?
Why do you like to go after big mid-sentence?
Why? Because...
because in mid-sentence and you want to hit the cue. But it's
because Vic makes so many salient points. I just want to anticipate when the biggest of all points is made and walk out on a high note.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
That's what I try to anticipate every day. And by the way, anticipate a problem. Hope you don't have one. But if you do, one guy to call Jacob and Ronnie. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
We have an update on the Rams quarterback situation. The official injury report. At least the initial injury report is out, Fred. And Jared Goff currently listed as...
probable.
Questionable.
A questionable.
Questionable for Saturday's playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, and after practice yesterday, he threw a few balls. Sean McVay said he did a nice job, and he was pleased with how he looked. Robert Woods says he was slinging the ball around the field pretty well with a nice spiral to it. So if he practices well again tomorrow, who knows? We might see Jared Goff, if he's fully healthy or healthy enough, be the starting quarterback.
That game's on Saturday?
It is.
He'll be questionable tomorrow. He'll be questionable tomorrow, and then he'll move up to probable on Saturday morning.
Okay, now Sean McVay was pressed again, Rodney, as to whether or not he was going to name a starter, and he says, nope, still not going to tell you who's going to start.
Yep.
We'll let you know on 1:39 Saturday afternoon.
Isn't that a function of, I don't know if Goff can really
help? A month ago.
Yeah. Isn't it that simple?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, we want you to prepare for Wolford. All week long, the Seattle's preparing for Wolford. You know, he may run around, whole new deal. And then, you know, come Saturday, there's no more practice time. You say, okay, Jared Goff's ready to go.
Yeah, and don't they have to see if Jared Goff is ready to go? Isn't that the other side?
That's true. A lot of it is certainly true, where they do have to see how he progresses every single day. But even if he was, like, if they saw him throw yesterday, they know in their mind, okay, he's good enough to play. They know that.
They know already from yesterday.
Yeah, they know. They know if he's good enough to play. But there's no sense of them saying, okay, yeah, Jared's gonna play. Wow, it gives them no advantage to say that now.
Could it also come down to, we're just gonna go out and warm up on Saturday? How you feel?
Yeah, I mean, that does happen a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, where guys have hamstrings or they have, you know, foot injuries or whatever, and you go test it out in pregame warm up to see if you can go, and then a lot of times you can't go. You're hoping that, you know, one more day or several hours will get to a point where it feels better, but sometimes you can't go. That happens all the time, and you see like late day scratches by guys right before the game. But in this case, you know, we're talking about a thumb, and we're, you know, you'll know. Like I said, they pretty much know now, but they'll know even more tomorrow. And then certainly by Saturday morning, they'll know if he can go. Nothing's going to change in terms of his thumb getting better getting worse. It will continue to get better, if anything, by Saturday. So, yeah.
It's a chess match because McVay is brilliant and Pete Carroll's defensive acumen is unparalleled. And remember the last time they played, Pete Carroll installed a defensive game plan that totally stifled Jay Goff and the Rams. So McVay, as you say, K-Fig, 1:39, 1 minute before kickoff, that's what he'll say. You know, it's going to be Goff or it's going to be Wolford. There's no sense to show his hand, to show his rook, or whatever chess piece you want to show.
Don't show your rook.
Never show the rook.
Right.
I
used to always show my rook, got me in trouble.
Really?
Yeah, my rook.
Lucky you didn't show your knight. It would be going diagonally.
You're telling me.
I don't need that bend in there.
Freddie!
Jeez.
What are we doing?
Hey, did you see The Queen's Gambit?
I've seen an episode.
Yes.
It's hot. It's a hot show.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm in the middle of it now.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It is very good. We know the Chargers are looking for a new head coach, and their general manager, Tom Telesco, answered questions yesterday about his job security. You know, talking about the fact that they were 12-20 the last couple of years. They're 2-2 in the playoffs under his watch, 60-68. He says it is a fair question to ponder his job performance and says he needs to do a better job of getting his team over the hump. He was hired before the 2013 season. That is when they had Mike McCoy as the head coach, and I believe that is pretty much the genesis of them pretty much inventing ways to lose close games at the end of a game. Now, I don't know if that you can put that on the head of the general manager, but all of that has happened over his watch, Fred.
Sounds to me like you're blaming him.
I'm not blaming him for anything. This is just the sentiment of Charger fans. Do we think it's fair to...
That's not... Stop.
What?
What do you mean it's the sentiment of Charger fans? Where are the Charger fans?
There are a few.
Well, there it's got to be your sentiment because they don't have many.
One of my best friends is a Charger fan. Or was a Charger fan, I should say. He doesn't like them much anymore because he's from San Diego.
Oh.
But still follows them very closely.
Okay.
And many trace them back to when he hired Mike McCoy in 2013 and many of these issues happened.
Is it not safe to say that he has done a good job building this roster?
Finding talent, absolutely.
Yeah, he's good at that, right? Yep. So maybe the issue is who he's picking as coach.
Could be. That's also part of the job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but number one, find guys that can play. And he does that, and he does a good job of it. So maybe it comes down to this coaching hire. Maybe will determine his future.
Yep.
Can you blame him for guys that he picked getting hurt?
Absolutely.
A lot of his high draft choices have gotten hurt, right?
Weak knees.
They have.
Got to check that out.
James, Mike Williams. Can you blame him for that, for not doing his homework on guys? You know how absurd that sounds, right? I'm just saying that for effect. This is ridiculous. No, I think he has done a good job putting together this roster. Sometimes, you know, you always wonder. Guys go different places, coaches, general managers, people in front office, scouts, things like that. But ultimately, and you said this the other day, Fred, some organizations, they're always going to be in the mix. They're always going to be right there within striking distance. They may miss the playoffs, but it's not going to be multiple years where they do it.
There's
other organizations that just hover around mediocrity. And where does that fault lie? That's what you really got to ask.
I think Telesco's done a hell of a job. I mean, he comes from the football powerhouse, Division III, John Carroll.
What?
John Carroll University, man. John Carroll. It's a sleeper school north of Cleveland.
I went to school with a kid named John Carroll.
Yeah.
He opened his own college?
John Carroll. You know, the defensive coordinator for the Rams is from John Carroll. Staley?
Where is John Carroll?
It's north of Cleveland.
Huh.
About 15 miles.
Okay.
Telesco's done a fabulous job. And this John Carroll is becoming a really quiet powerhouse in football. People don't know from John Carroll, but, you know, Telesco.
No one knows from John Carroll.
Let it be. I'm bringing it to the, into the surface. I'm taking it into the next level. John Carroll, man. Football tradition.
Vic, you're not too far off on a football factory or just a factory of greats. Don Shula, Brett, associated with John Carroll.
Isn't he the guy that opened those steakhouses?
Don Shula, the Hall of Fame?
Yes, Shula Steakhouse.
Yeah.
What else did he do?
The most wins in NFL history, no?
The Hall of Fame football coach, Fred. No. Don't know if you know that.
Most wins ever.
The guy with the steakhouse.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah, not the guy that had the only undefeated team in NFL history.
What?
London Fletcher was an all-pro linebacker, played for the Rams.
Sensational
Tim Russert,
linebacker.
One of the most famous Buffalo Bills fans. Rest in peace, Tim Russert. Is an alumni from John Carroll University.
Who worked for NBC.
Yes. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots. Tom Telesco, as you mentioned. Nick Caserio was the new general manager of the Houston Texans. He's a John Carroll guy.
Ooh.
Greg Roman, longtime offensive coordinator in the NFL. Vic? Vic, you might be onto something.
Vic, you ain't lying.
Bill Polian. Wow.
I'm telling you. Okay, Vic, thank you for buttressing my points.
Oh, of course, brother. I got your back.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Someone who did not go to John Carroll.
Not really.
Fred Rogan.
Yes.
I went to Phoenix College, home of the Fighting Bears, where Shandy Hogan was the football coach.
No, Phoenix College.
A silent powerhouse. Yeah.
Someone who did not go there is Rodney's friend and head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, who's gotten a lot of heat over this last week. And people are calling for his job. It doesn't seem as if right now he's on the hot seat at all, because they seem to be doing the same thing in Philadelphia as to what USC is doing with their staff. Keeping the head coach in place, but changing a lot of pieces around it. One of their senior offensive assistants, Rick Scangrello, is leaving. Marty Morningweg, who I know is a really good friend of his and has been in the league for a long time, he's not coming back. And Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, also not going to return. So Doug Peterson, it looks like, as of now, is pretty safe. They're changing a lot of moving pieces or coaching pieces around him.
Well, I think a couple of those guys, they asked not to return. Schwartz, I think, just took the said, I need a year off.
Sure, he did.
I'm beat up. Well, that's what he said.
Yes.
You don't believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
the Schwartz is not with them.
No. There's no Schwartz.
And they're probably thankful for that, Vic, at this point.
Isn't this really the precursor to next year is you better make the playoffs. 100%. You better play well.
Right? 100%.
You got one more bite at the apple. Make it a good one.
Yeah, it is. It is. But when you win a city a Super Bowl that hadn't had one, it can go a long way in keeping you there for a minute. So, but it is Philadelphia at the end of the day. They forget that real quick during game day. I think it's been tragic, and I think it's been unfortunate because their franchise quarterback has not played very well in the last couple of seasons. Now, it's not all on him because they've had a slew of injuries and just been bitten, much like we talk about with the Chargers out here. But I think their talent level has dropped off dramatically since they were in that Super Bowl. And it's a shame, and it falls on the quarterback. And Carson Wentz, we've seen go from a guy that was on his way to win an MVP to a guy that looks very average to below average because he's trying to do too much and he doesn't have the same weapons that he once had. So it's a difficult situation, but... I like Doug, and hopefully he can bounce back from this. But they got an interesting offseason coming up. What they do for Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, that whole situation is going to be not a pretty sight.
I am not privy to the machinations of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Shocking.
But when they won the Super Bowl, remember, they had the best two lines in football, the best O-line, the best D-line.
Yep.
And suddenly, just a couple years later, they're in tatters. Both lines are in tatters. So you tell me, what happened there?
Hey, Vic, you know, Gabby984 listens to the show and tweets all the time. He sent this tweet. He said, when it comes to the Mets,
the best is yet to come.
Thank you, Gabby. That was good.
Good stuff.
Rodney's speechless. And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Grab your popcorn. Get ready. Rodney's going to explain to Bill Plaschke why Jared Goff should start the game on Saturday for the Rams.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's WIN to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports. You gotta wait to make a move as I be loaded. Why you watch
it drinking 40s? I just told it. Still that same in a foreign, but it's still Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan. I'm doing fraud, got that bag, yeah, I'm transport. And our final hour. Got that bag on me. Yeah, coming at you Thursday. Throwback Thursday, 2020. Is it 2020 or 2021?
2021.
I can't tell.
That's all right. It's all right. They're all blending together.
Yeah, they are.
Later in the year, 2021 is going to be a good year. That we can rest assured on. Fingers crossed. All right. Now, let's welcome on and say Happy New Year to our dear friend from the LA Times. He is the pulse of the paper, and he is the most respected journalist in this city.
Yes.
Bill Plaschke. Bill, Happy New Year.
Thank you. You just set me up. It's a sucker bet. You're having me argue quarterbacks with Rodney Pete. I got no shot. I got no I got no shot here, fellas. I got no shot.
I didn't realize you'd be listening prior to the introduction.
Yeah. You see, that's what Fred does, Bill. That's what Fred does.
Yes,
you
know I know what Fred does. Bosses me up and then pounds me into the body blows.
All right, Bill.
I
read the article. I got the article. Now I just got to hear it from the horse's mouth, man. Break it down.
And again, I've got no credibility compared to Rodney with quarterbacks. I've got tons more credibility than Fred, but that's a whole nother story. I'm just joking, but I got no credibility with Rodney. But I'll just say Trent Dilfer, when he led the Baltimore Ravens to the World Super Bowl Championship, threw 12 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. You don't need a stud quarterback when you have the best defense in the league. You just need a guy that's not going to get your beat. That's all the analytics prove that. You need a guy that can maybe open up your offense, give you some versatility, save you on some third downs. And that's what Wolford does. That's what he did. That's what he can do. And everybody says, well, he didn't score a touchdown. Well, Jared Goff didn't throw for a touchdown pass against Seattle last time either. I think Goff, the combination of his confidence is hurting, his finger is hurt, has got to be hurt. I can't imagine coming back so soon after such an awful injury. I just think the setting is there. I'm not saying do this permanently. I think you do this in the first playoff game. I think it gets you past Seattle.
You think that Wolford will get the Rams past Seattle in a more efficient way than Jared Goff would?
Yes, and you can tell. You can just tell from the way McVay talks about him how excited he is. He has a quarterback who can execute his vision, who can run the manual, third and eight, run for nine, throw the ball downfield. I mean, he can. You know, he makes smart plays. He was one for his first five, but after that, he was like 22 for 28 or something.
When they're picking there?
His very first NFL pass.
Yeah.
I give him
yeah.
pass.
So he knows. I mean, so he has turned it over as well, to your point.
Yeah, yeah. His first NFL pass. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, and look, I've made this comparison too about. When you have a great defense. Look, I was on the Raider team when we played Baltimore in the championship game and lost to them. And all Trent Dilfer did, but by the way, he started game two of that season and played most of the season for that team, but he played.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. How can I argue with somebody who was there when all this stuff happened? But go ahead.
So I have said that about Jared Goff. I said as a quarterback, and this is why I hate, you know, game managers, right? That label, that because people take it that as a negative, but I think that is what all quarterbacks are. You have to understand your team, and you have to manage your team. And if that calls for you to throw five touchdowns a game and score 40 points, then that's what you got to do as a quarterback. But if that also requires you to go 15 for 20 for 150 yards and not turn the ball over because you got the best defense in the league, that is what you're supposed to do as well. And Jared Goff, I think, has let the team down in that respect because there are games this season where he has forced things. He has turned the ball over in close ball games when you do have the best defense and your defense is playing that way. So, I mean, I'm with you 100% on that in terms of what you have to understand what you're dealing with and what type of defense you have. But we're talking about a guy that just played one game, Bill. We're talking about a guy that, you know, he played against a mediocre Arizona Kyler Murray-less team, and yes,
their defense, they were playing for the playoffs. Their defense comes pretty hard.
They were playing playoffs.
They had no offense, but they had a pretty good defense.
They were playing for the playoffs, but they also were playing against an inept offense on the other side that didn't move the ball at all. Didn't give them any pressure at all in terms of offensively or do anything offensively. So, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the guy, but Seattle will eat him up. They it's not like he can surprise anybody. They got a game film on him now. You know, the things that you say, oh, he does well, Pete Carroll's not going to allow that to happen. They know he's a different player than Jared Goff. You know, they're going to get into third and seven, third and eight situation. He's not going to just be able to run around. They're not going to let that. They'll make him throw it, and they'll make him read the defense. And so if Jared Goff is 70, 75% at all, you got to play him. He's got you to the playoffs three times as a starting quarterback in 4 years. How do you not – and took you to a Super Bowl, and you're going to start a guy that played one game for you? Come on.
Well,
man.
I love you, man.
But come on.
Let's tell him. Look at where it's at now. Jared Goff, since 2019, has 39 turnovers. That's the most in the NFL during that time. That's more than Jameis Winston. I called him Jameis Winston West, and I don't mean that to be an insult to either man.
I actually thought that was a good line, Bill. That was a good line when you said that.
But he's not in the place right now. And also Seattle, so they're going to eat up Wolford there. They ate up Goff last time. They ate him up. He's been the New York Jets ate him up. I just think he's not in a good space right now.
My thing is, I'm not disagreeing with it with Jared Goff. My thing is, you're not sitting there with Ryan Tannehill behind you. You're not sitting there with Marcus Mariota up there in Las Vegas with the Raiders. You don't even have Blake Bortles here that would, okay, I get that. You're going with a guy that's never played one game as your guy. So I'm not taking that over a guy that has got me wins in this league and got me to a Super Bowl over a guy that just played one game against a non-playoff team. That's all.
Yeah, but they were a playoff team at the time. They were fighting to be a playoff team. And you have to look at just what he does, or what this guy does for the offense and how he does manage the game. He smartly manages the game. I could see him starting him and the Rams winning this game 13-10. I mean, I can see that kind of game. The Rams defense, they figured out Russell Wilson. They give him fits. He had the one drive last time against them, and that was it. They give him fits. I think you want a guy who's just not going to mess up. He's not going to throw the ball to the other team. He's not going to do any dumb plays. The Jared Goff's last throw was one he admitted was one of the worst throws of his career. I just think at this point in time, this doesn't mean you don't start Goff again in the following week if he's completely healthy. But I think to get him past Seattle, running on emotion, running on inspiration, the team plays for this guy too. The team believes in Wolford. You can see that. You can see the defense.
Wolford didn't light it up. Let's be honest, Bill. He didn't throw for five touchdowns and 500 yards.
But he didn't mess up. But he did.
You sound like Bill, were you in the room? Were you in the room a couple years ago when the Buffalo Bills decided to come out to L.A. and play Peterman instead of Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, they threw five interceptions. I understand that. You're laughing at my argument. And again, I got no standing. I got no credibility with you, Roddy. I got zero credibility.
No, but you're spot on about Jared Goff. I'm not saying you're spot on about that, because I've been saying the same thing about him, is that it's baffling that when your strength of your team is defense, and part of it, to be honest with you, I put on Sean McVay for putting Goff in some of those situations where, okay, pull it back a little bit. Let's not get aggressive like we always have. Let's let our defense win games for us. And
well, he pulled it back for Wolford.
Yes.
And it worked.
Tremendously. And it ain't going to work against Seattle, though.
All right. Bill Plaschke is with us. Fred Rogan and Rodney.
What do you think he's going to do? What do you all think he's going to do?
I think he's going to play golf.
Yeah, golf's playing.
Yeah.
The fact that he threw the ball yesterday and you know, they're downplaying it. And then, you know, we'll wait and see. And then, you know, because you always know from other players. When Robert Wood says, oh, he was slinging it pretty good yesterday, then you know the guy's playing.
Well, I wish he would, you know, take a chance and be bold. McVay's a pretty bold guy.
You want Jared Goff to say, I'm hurt, I can't play? So they let Wolf.
No. I just wish McVay would. We'll see what happens. We'll see what he does. And this will tell you a lot about it. And I hope for the Rams' sake, Goff comes in here, if he starts and does great and wins the game. And boy, what a story that would be.
Yeah. Prove everybody wrong. I don't think you can go the other way, Bill. I don't think you can start Wolford and then go to Goff. I think if Goff can play, you got to start him, and if he's ineffective and the thumb is bothering him or he's ineffective, then you go to Wolford. But the other way around, you're going to have Goff sitting on the sideline pissed off because he didn't start the game. I don't think the mindset would be right.
Well, you know more about that than I do, that's for sure. But I just think – I just like to see him get a change. I don't think they can win the game with Jared Goff. I just don't think they do. They can. Do you all think they can win the game with Jared Goff?
I think they have a better chance to win the game with Goff than they do Wolford.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bill has become me. You know, I'm the one with all the crazy ideas all the time.
I know. And now you've become me. I was surprised when Kevin said you both were against it. I thought for sure you'd be for it, Fred.
No, no.
I'm very, very surprised.
Yeah, because as Rodney pointed out, I mean, he's an investment banker and a brilliant guy and a wonderful human being. He's played one game, Bill. One. And it's not the playoffs. And it's not an opportunity because Seattle has now seen tape on him. I just can't. And he wasn't throwing the ball like lightning out there. So I just can't. I can't imagine that because he can run, he can be the difference.
I mean, that could be the difference. You just said it. That makes him the difference. And Sean said it. Sean said it after the game. He excitedly said he was zooming in. He was zooming out of the Zoom call. He was saying, "This is great. This guy allows us to do things we couldn't do before. This gives us a whole other option. Gives us a whole other set of legs."
He's playing it. He's trying to play Seattle to get ready for Wolford. Get ready for Wolford. He's going to be running all over the place, and then he's going to send golf in on Saturday.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, I think I would tend to think that you're going to be right. I tend to think that he's going to play golf, but I think he should play Wolford. I just think he should.
All right.
And I'll come on the show next week. Golf throws for 4 touchdowns, and they win 35-31. I'll be on the show, and I'll say I'm wrong.
For me, I think it's an uphill battle for the Rams to win anyway, regardless of who they play. I think it's going to be tough for them, just the way they played all season long.
So why not play the kid? Why not give him a shot? That's all I'm saying.
In the playoffs?
I should say the kid. Yes.
Bill!
That's the game he had before.
In the playoffs? All right.
Well, all I know is...
Who are you, Doug Peterson?
All I know is, Jared, what did Jared Goff do against Seattle last time he played in Seattle 2 weeks ago?
It was terrible.
Got his butt kicked.
Right. I'd still go with a guy that's kind of had a little experience. Over the guy that's
dislocated his thumb, Bill. Give him a break.
What's the last? Are you saying it's the playoffs? What's the last big pass? And I've got this in my mind. The last big pass Jared Goff completed in a big moment in a big game for the Rams. And I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
It's that pass to Brandon Cooks in the NFC Championship game against New Orleans.
That got them
down there, tying the game. He was tremendous in that New Orleans game. Tremendous in the Superdome. I was there. Fred was there. Fred, he sat right behind me.
Yep.
And it was a tremendous game. Hasn't done it since. Hasn't done it in a big game since.
Maybe he's just been saving it up, Bill. Maybe this is the game.
Okay. All right. We'll see. He's a great guy. I mean, he's been a great representative of the Rams and professional, and people in town love the guy. I understand that. I just think you got to play the other guy.
Well, this is one thing we know for sure. As you pointed out, if Jared Goff goes in and throws 4 touchdown passes and the Rams win, you'll come on the show next week and say you're wrong. If John Wolford starts the game, throws 4 touchdown passes and the Rams win, you'll come on the show and say you're right. So either way, we know you'll be on next week.
I'll give you all the problems in the world if they start Wolford to do that.
If John Wolford, suddenly Kevin Skeptor's going to get booked. I won't be on the show if John Wolford throws 4 touchdown passes. Suddenly you're not going to have any room for me, I bet. All right, you got to have me on. Either way.
All right, Bill, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, see you guys.
Rodney, you know what this means?
Yes, that'd be downer.
The sad sack is next.
Oh! I mean, that is just sad!
Sad sack of the day.
Yeah, we can't forget this, Rodney.
Oh, boy.
And it's amazing.
Don't you do it, Fred.
It's a big doubleheader for the sad sack of the day. Not only was the sad sack yesterday, but the sack is back today.
We've not had that.
We've never had that before. Never.
Wow.
The daily double sad sack.
Wow.
Congratulations to Mike Conley of the Utah Jazz. Not the Memphis Grizzlies. The veteran guard struggled yet again in last night's loss to the Knicks. He scored 9 points on 3 of 14 shooting and committed 3 turnovers. The loss was Utah's second in a row, and their record fell to 4-4. The sad sack of the day is Mike Conley of the Utah Jazz.
Man,
not
Mike Conley,
the Memphis Grizzlies. You know,
Kevin, and I know you, Kevin. I know you tried. I know you tried not to do a back-to-back with Conley. But some things, the writing's on the wall, and you're forced to.
Well, mostly I butchered it, and then Fred threw me under the bus yesterday, so I thought, oh, we'll circle back and just do a proper sad sack. And, oh, what do you know? It's the same subject from yesterday. Mike Conley played poorly 2 games in a row. Throw him back in there.
Well, he could have been the sad sack for last season. He really struggled then as well. That. Yeah, since he got to Utah.
Yes.
You know what? They don't let you drink a lot in Utah. Maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, that's a drag state.
A special thanks to Dunkin' for helping us during our season of giving at the Dream Center by providing America's favorite coffee, espresso, and donuts that kept volunteers and Dream Center staff going all month long. Find a location near you at DunkinDonuts.com. Adam, thank you for today. Kevin as well. Rodney, back tomorrow.
What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in L.A. on bail. My people say...
Live and die in LA.